It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day so far. Had some rain and thunderstorms come through last night. Some of us slept well, some of us did not. That is kind of how it goes sometime. Big Joe with the day off, so it's just yours truly and Dr. Crane with you. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, how are you today, sir?
We are rocking and rolling, I'll say that much. I'm in that company of did not sleep well last night through that little storm. So don't know why, but every hour I woke up. So we're just rocking and rolling.
I had like a moment where there was a giant clap of thunder, and I think I was already half awake because I had to get up and pee. But so that woke me up and kind of scared me. And I was like, what the heck? You know, I mean, I knew storms were coming through and all that stuff. But then I slept great because the rain, it was a heavy rain hitting the roof. And so that kind of was soothing. So then I was fine. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of people heard some rumbles last night and woke up. The Predators are hoping to rumble into Vancouver and come away with a Game 5 win. It's another late one tonight, but you expected that. It's on the West Coast. So a 9 o'clock puck drop. We'll have Predators playoffs tonight with Max from 6 to 8. I'll jump in as well, and then he'll have the pregame show at 8. Puck drop just after 9 to see if the Predators can stay alive. I think this is where you can say it is a must win, because if you don't win, you go home. That's pretty much as simple as that. So hopefully the Predators can keep their season going and get a dub tonight on the road and force a Game 6 back at Bridgestone Arena Friday night. So I don't know. I kind of processed yesterday and thought about it and still don't feel great because of just how Game 4 ended and the fact that you had two games at home and you didn't win either one. You know, this just it I hate series like this where you just second guess and have that what if of, you know, man, it could be 2-2 or it could be 3-1 or, you know, it should be this or should be that. And I know the team's not doing that and Andrew Burnett's not going to let them do that, but I certainly have, and it just is it's a bummer. So 615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to weigh in on anything that we're talking about, Jim Wyatt's going to join us from TennesseeTitans.com at the bottom of the hour, kind of get his thoughts from inside the building on the Titans draft. Everybody seems to be pretty pleased with the draft over there, as they should be. So we'll talk to him, and then Hal Gill will join us from Vancouver at 10:30 instead of 9:30, since it's a little early out there. And then at the end of the show today, since we don't have Joe, this is what we're going to do for celebrity birthdays, and I want to keep just hyping this up so you'll be listening. At 10:45 for celebrity birthdays, we're going to get two contestants to participate in celebrity birthdays to go head-to-head, and the winner will win a pair of tickets to see Morgan Wallen at Nissan Stadium this Thursday, May 2nd. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do for celebrity birthday today. You like that, Dr. Crane? You good with that?
I love that. Morgan Wallen tickets on the line. If I'm a...
You don't even have to throw a chair.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about just calling in and just guessing numbers for a birthday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that we will allow the listeners to participate in celebrity birthdays. We never do that. It's always between Dr. Crane and yours truly, but we will allow the listeners to participate today during celebrity birthdays. So looking forward to that.
You don't even have to throw a bar stool off anything. Like, you're just, this is free tickets, basically.
No chairs. No chairs will be thrown today. That leads us into our question of the day. We'll go through this throughout the show. So, you know, I think I caused a little controversy yesterday when I said that I didn't like Pop-Tarts. And I also doubled down and said that I'm not a big fan of corn dogs either. And so I had people throughout the day, whether it was in our building or on social media or what have you, coming up to me going like, what do you mean you don't like Pop-Tarts? What's wrong with you? And I feel like that was the general consensus. Now, there's a few people like D-Mace that agreed with me that are like, yeah, they're gross. I'm not into them. So that's fine. So it kind of got me thinking of, you know, instead of talking about things you just hate, what's your go-to comfort food? Like, you're having a bad day, and you can go eat this, whether it's a full meal or, you know, just something in particular that just makes you feel better. Like, what is your go-to comfort food? Mine, if I'm just having a you know, just a down day and just need kind of a pick me up, I'm a 6 year old. It's Goldfish. It's just the Goldfish crackers. Like, I've been that way since I was a kid, and even at 36, almost 37 years old, it's still the same.
The OG, so, not the extra cheesy.
The OG in the big carton.
Oh yeah, like the cardboard carton. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the big carton. I was sitting in our GM's office yesterday, talking about stuff, eating Goldfish. Now, I wasn't having a bad day. I was just, that was my snack, and he was laughing at me, and he goes, his son is 4 years old, and he was like, you and Harrison could share those. I'm like, hey, I'm all about him. So it doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah, you can't take the kid out of somebody. You know, you just can't do that.
No. So that's mine. What about yours?
Ooh, this is tough. I mean, this is going to sound crazy, Chase, but I have multiple comfort foods to go to. If I'm having a really bad day, go with the little McDonald's, all right? Go with a little, probably a number two meal. Is that just a quarter pounder with cheese or whatever that is? Go there. Or if I'm having like it's an all right day, I might make some pasta with red sauce and something like that. We'll go that direction. I will say pasta for me was just a comfort food as a kid. And along with this pastina, it's like a little rice pasta. Put it with chicken broth.
Pastina?
Yeah, pastina. Oh, my goodness. They make it in different little shapes. You could do little stars. You could do it in little rice form. They make them in little like circular forms. It really is delicious. And if you put enough cheese in there, the right consistency, then you have the broth that's kind of soaked up through the cheese. Put a little pepper in there. So you have like this thick consistency, but it's not too soupy. It's not a soup. It was the go-to meal for me as a kid.
You know, I say this every day, but you continue to fascinate me.
I try.
With the things that you know. I mean, I could tell you know how to cook, you're from an Italian family, all those things, but I had never heard of that before.
Oh.
So yeah. I may have to try that now.
You're going to have to go to
Or maybe I have. Maybe I've had it before and I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, some people mistake it for rice, but like if you just go to your local, I guess, grocery store, you can see it'll say like small pasta or pastina or whatever it may say on the box. I know Barilla sells it at a lot of big market grocery stores, so get it there, and it's probably cheap. I mean, you get one or two boxes for about, I don't know, $15 maybe or so, something like that.
Okay, that is good to know. So keep our question of the day coming, 615-737-1025, your go-to comfort food. 615-737-1025. We do have some votes for McDonald's French fries, which I agree, those are up there for me too. I mean, you can have more than one answer. I say Goldfish, but you know, Mickey D's fries, I mean, there are times where it's just like you need some good fries, and that is certainly a go-to. So we'll take those throughout the show, 615-737-1025. Before I get into the Titans, I wanted to bring this up. Because I'm bummed Joe's off, because he would be fascinated by this too. So, you know, Monday night is wrestling night, and watching Monday Night Raw, they were in Kansas City last night. And so they do this whole thing now where it's kind of like UFC, where they start, you know, they show the guys and girls showing up to the arena and walking in. And Logan Paul was there last night. He's the United States champion. He walks in and he sees some other guys. He goes, yeah, I brought my friend with me, and Patrick Mahomes gets out of the car. And so Patrick Mahomes walks into the arena with Logan Paul. He's sitting front row for the show, actually gets involved in a match by giving Logan Paul his 3 Super Bowl rings so he can knock out an opponent. So Patrick Mahomes was playing the bad guy last night, which was kind of fun. He was like looking around, and Casey's like not sure what to do. Do we boo him? And so then one of the other wrestlers like bows up and like is talking trash to him. Trey Smith and one of the other offensive linemen are sitting there with Patrick Mahomes and stand up like, hey, you're not going to mess with my quarterback. So it's pretty funny that Patrick Mahomes got involved. And like that just shows you the reach of WWE, that it's like that big that you get, hey, Patrick, you want to come to the show and get involved? Sure, man, I got you. Like, how crazy is that? So I thought that was interesting last night, watching Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Raw. I bet he could wrestle.
Yeah.
Put him and Kelsey in a tag match.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, have the Kelsey brothers.
I'm surprised Kelsey wasn't there.
I mean, yeah, after signing his extension as well, like, that'd be a great time to get some publicity.
Yeah. What'd you think about it? I was a little surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised that he's, you know, he's getting paid or whatever and all of that, but... And I guess he doesn't technically have to play It's a 2-year extension, but yeah, I feel like if they win this year, he's done.
Yeah. I might fall. No, I take it back.
But
no.
He's kind of showing you that he's not.
If they end up winning the Super Bowl again, that makes them the three-peat. I would not be surprised to see them run it back to see if they can
go for four.
I would not be surprised at all. Because if it gets to that point, you're just thinking, well, it's the last year of my contract. Might as well just ride it out. I mean, if we don't, we don't. We already three-peated. So, I mean, it's just an extra year of just fun for him.
Yeah. Well, winning's addictive.
It is.
Know, like when you win, you know, you're addicted to more winning. You want to keep doing it because winning feels good. So, I mean, I get it. You know, if they win, you know, they've won two in a row now. And honestly, like, what was impressive was this year, because I didn't think they were the best team in the league, and they still won it.
Yeah, they just find a way. I mean, when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes that can just change a game and, you know, the split of a finger or just, you know, a change of one possession. Yeah. Like, that's what happens. When you have a guy that can transcend the game like that,
yeah.
I mean, you're going to win.
Yeah, 100%. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, and I'll ask this question with when it comes to the Titans. After the draft, now, the roster is still not complete. Rand Carthon said, you know, they're going to keep looking at, you know, some veteran free agents that are out there. They're probably going to sign a safety. There are plenty of safeties still available, so you know they're probably going to bring in a veteran safety. And then they got undrafted guys that they haven't officially announced that are going to be coming in. So the roster's incomplete, but it's pretty close to what they're going to be taking to camp. When you look at that roster today, the last day of April, what is kind of your feelings with the Titans and how things are going to go this year? We'll discuss that coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. No Big Joe today. He has the day off. And also, you can keep our question of the day. What is your go-to comfort food? Keep that coming on our phone and text line as well. Up and running here on a Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
So, Rand, obviously you guys have been incredibly active this offseason, both in free agency via trade and now with the draft. How much better do you think your football team is right now than when you began this offseason based on the work you guys have done?
I think we're better. I think we're better with all the additions. You know, and I can't wait to get all these guys on the field together, you know, to see how it looks. And so that's what I'm most excited about now that we have the draft over, because you can add in this draft class, and we'll continue to look to, you know, add players as we go. But I do think that we improved this offseason, not to be confused with, you know, being where we ultimately want to be. So there's still more work to do, but I'm pleased with what we've done so far.
Titans general manager Rand Carthon yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier with you on this Tuesday. Big Joe with the day off. And discussing the Titans, how do you feel about the roster right now? I look at this thing, and I'm still saying incomplete. I know it's April 30th, but this is where you get mini camp season and OTAs start, and now you got the draft done. Get the rookies in here. They're going to have undrafted guys that they're going to be bringing in and officially signing soon. But, I mean, look, there's still holes on this roster, and there's going to be holes on this roster. They were never going to be able to fill every hole this offseason, and I think anyone that was paying attention knew that and felt that way. Now, do I think that they have taken a big swing at it? Is Rand Carthon taking swings? Absolutely. I think that. It's just, how are they all going to pan out? You know, so let's kind of look at it, you know, from this point of view, starting with the draft, of the overall evaluation of the draft. Before I kind of get into that, this was Teron Davenport yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace giving his overall assessment of the Titans and their draft.
Well, I mean, in multiple conversations I had with multiple people, it started to come out that trading back wasn't as important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they wanted to get extra picks, but the way the depth of this draft worked, it didn't really become as imperative for them to do it. So that's more or less from the multiple conversations I had with, you know, different people. And I think, you know, it was a situation where they had guys that they were set on, you know, in those opportunities where they could have traded back, and those were the guys, and that's what they stuck with. And I think that's just trusting, you know, your evaluation and your board and not moving off of it.
That was Teron Davenport yesterday, and they did. They trusted the board and ultimately went with those players. I mean, I kind of joked at one point of, hey, do they know they can trade? They can move around. But it was pretty clear that where their board was and how things fell, they liked that the position, and so they stayed there. And so they ended up adding all these guys, and I'm very curious by them. You know, especially – you know, you get into day two, they didn't have a third round pick, so they take Tavondre Sweat in day two, you know, for the second round pick, and that was it. And then you go into day three, and that's where they're able to get, you know, Jarvis Brownlee. They got Cedric Gray, who I'm really curious about. Cedric Gray, I'm looking forward to asking Jim about Cedric Gray coming up in a few minutes, because he's likely going to be asked to wear the green dot as a rookie, at least right now. Because, I mean, you look at the linebackers that they have on this roster. I mean, Chance Campbell, you know, is a guy that obviously has a chance to make it, no pun intended. Jack Gibbons, Luke Gifford, who's been there. They signed Kenneth Murray, bring in Cedric Gray. Otis Reese is another one. And that's really, that's your linebacker, your you know, middle linebacking core. That's what you got there. So that's an area of concern, also intrigue for me when I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball. Corners, feel good about corners. I think that they have done a pretty darn good job with the corners, with Awuzie. I mentioned they drafted Brownlee, who I think, you know, is going to be, obviously in the mix for things. Roger McCreary, Legarius Sneed that they traded for. So, I mean, they're pretty good when it comes to the cornerback group, and they got depth at corner, which is something that they haven't had for a long time. And so I think that is very, very good when it comes to that. I mentioned safety. They got to sign a safety, and I'm not talking about undrafted free agents. I mean, right now the safeties on the roster are Mike Brown, Imani Hooker, Matthew Jackson, and then you can obviously count, you know, Shai Carter kind of can play that. You know, Eric Garrett can kind of move around.
You kind of count Elijah Molden in that.
Elijah Molden, yeah, that's where I was going. I mean, Elijah Molden right now is probably a starting safety for this team.
Absolutely.
And that worries me. So I don't know if I'm a huge, I mean, I like Elijah Molden, but you got to get him some help. I mean, you got to have depth at that position, and they don't have it right now. So that's going to be an area. But again, there are a lot of safeties out there, so I'd be curious of, you know, in the next few days, do they end up signing one of these veteran guys? Now, I think the money has been too high for some of these guys. They've outpriced themselves, but now that they've made it through the draft, I think those prices are going to have to come back down. Defensive line, I feel better about adding Sweat next to Simmons, but I know that there are some question marks when it comes to Sweat, just like there's question marks on J.C. Latham and whether he could move from the right side to the left side. Those will have to be answered. But, you know, I like the pick. He's a big boy out of Texas. I mean, he's bigger than Jeff when it comes to his weight. So, I mean, you got two behemoths there in the defensive line. And you know that Jeffrey Simmons was really excited about that, being able to play, you know, next to Tavondre Sweat. So, you know, I'm very curious there. They brought in Sebastian Joseph Day, you know, as a free agent. We'll see. That's one of those kind of a wait and see how that works. So, you know, I think defense is going to be the big question for everybody when it comes to depth. You agree or disagree with that, Dr. Crane?
I'd probably agree to that. I mean, it's tough to see right now. I mean, if you look currently at the defensive line when you have Simmons and Sweat. My thing is, like, if you put Sweat in there with Simmons, it's more or less that you're putting Sweat in there to open up more space for Simmons to get in behind the offensive line. Right. That's simply what it is. There's no sugarcoating about it. I mean, you put Joseph Day in there along with that little mixture. I mean, all this is just to open up and create more space for Simmons up the middle.
I agree. And look, I'm immediately reminded of the days of Albert Haynesworth and Kyle Vandenbosch, that you had both of them in there, and everybody wanted to key in on Haynesworth, just like everybody's going to want to key in on Jeffrey. And then that opened up the door for Vandenbosch to get as many sacks as he did. And so, you know, that you can have kind of a similar thought of like, well, you got these two 300-plus pound dudes, you know, that you have out there. You can't double team both of them.
Right.
So you got to keep that in mind. So when it comes to the offense, they didn't address receiver in the draft except for later, you know, in the late rounds. And I don't consider that a bad pick because they got a return guy. And this team has not had a true return specialist in a very long time. And now they got it in Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane. Now, I right now have him penciled in to make this roster simply because of special teams and the return game. I don't know how he is as a receiver. I'd be curious to find that out. But the fact that they are finding a guy that is just known for his return ability, that excites me. And they needed to do that. So, you know, the receiver group probably still needs work. I'd be surprised if they add anybody else outside of undrafted free agents. But, you know, I'm cool with the Jackson pick for where they got him. We'll ask Jim Wyatt his thoughts on the draft and what it was like inside the building through the weekend and draft night and all of that. We'll do that coming up next. It's the Chasing Big Joe Show presented by Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday. Chase McCabe with you. Big Joe with the day off. We say hello now to Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com, who has covered this team since the very beginning. And I know it was a busy weekend over there at St. Thomas Sports Park. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I heard that Anita Baker Music is signing me on here. So Joe is still up to his old tricks here, even though he's not working today. Maybe put Nick Frazier up to that, or maybe Chase, you picked that up from Joe before he
no.
got out sometime at some point that I liked Anita Baker.
No, so I did not know that. I have learned something today. Well, we're glad to make your day, Jim. That's what we try to do. I know it was an exciting time with the draft and you know, Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, you know, the collaboration there. But I want to start with Thursday night, J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama. And I know that all the discussion is going to be, can he move from the right side to the left side? He predominantly played on the right side at Alabama. But I know they squashed that. I think it was you that asked the question and said he's going to play left tackle. That's where we're going to start him at. This dude's a tree. I mean, what was kind of your takeaway just seeing how big he is? And if it does work out, which I think it will on the left side, then you got to feel really good about that left side of the offensive line for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, he's no question he's big. I mean, and that stands out, I think, even more so dealing with him is just how mature he is. I mean, he's just 21 years old, which is hard to believe. I see these, you know, as I've covered this team for so long, I see these birth dates of these kids, and he was born February the 8th of 2003, which is younger than my kids now. But he's just very mature, and I think that's because, you know, he left to go at IMG Academy at such a young age, left his family, and kind of has been on his own. So just the maturity and how ready he seems for this situation. He is huge. I mean, there's no question about it. And he's athletic. And I think he's going to adapt very well to the switch. But we'll have to see. I mean, I know a lot of folks had their hearts set on Joe Alt. And he was a popular pick in a lot of mocks. The Titans certainly liked him. They obviously liked J.C. Latham as well. And I think anybody that questions that pick or has doubts about it, I think you just got to put trust in Bill Callahan, because Bill Callahan is one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. He's turned right tackles into left tackles in the past. He's very high on this guy, and he wouldn't be if they didn't believe in him. So I think that's what you got to believe in if you're a Titans fan and wondering about this pick. And I think J.C. Latham's going to turn out to be a good one.
Yeah, and that's my whole thing is I'm excited to see what Bill Callahan can do, not only with him, but with the rest of the offensive line. And, you know, they've addressed O-line over the course of the offseason. I don't think they're done addressing offensive line. you know, as we go into the mini camp season and before training camp opens up. But Bill Callahan, to me, is the X factor. Before I get into the other draft picks, who is someone that's been here that you're really curious to see how Bill Callahan, you know, works with, like a Nicholas Petit-Frere or Dylan Radin, somebody like that? Because I'm really curious to see him get to put his hands on those guys and work with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and first I'm going to name a guy who hasn't been here, is Leroy Watson, who's kind of, you know, when you look at what they've added, now he's obviously added Lloyd Cushenberry, and they've added, you know, now J.C. Latham, and obviously added Sadiq Charles, another lineman. But, you know, one guy who doesn't get mentioned a lot is Leroy Watson, who was with the Browns last year. I don't think the Titans make that move if he didn't see something in him. So I'm curious about that. And then returning guys, I think Raidens, because I think, you know, Petit-Frere certainly will be in the mix. I think now at right tackle, but I think Raidens is the type of guy that Callahan has been able to watch now for, he's got a couple of years of film on him. I have a feeling he's going to be certainly a factor in competition as we move forward at one of those guard spots.
We're talking to Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. A pick that I really, really like, and again, you know, everybody's going to be a critic, and was he a second rounder, or was 38 too high, whatever. They got a big boy in Devondre Sweat out of Texas. I know Jeffrey Simmons was really excited about that. I'm excited about Devondre Sweat coming in here, and I'm sure working with the coaches, and maybe he drops a little bit of weight or whatever, but I think having him next to Jeff is going to be a problem for many years to come. Very excited about this pick. How about you?
Yeah, I like him too. I mean, he's obviously got to get his weight under control. He was a 366, and he talked about needing to get down to 350, 355, and they'll work on him with that. You know, I think peer pressure, you know, has an influence on guys most of the time. I mean, I think once he gets in the NFL locker room, he realizes, hey, if I'm going to survive in this league, if I'm going to make it, I've got to do what is best for, you know, to help me perform, and that's for him to lose some weight. Yes, he arrives with some off-field questions, made a mistake not long ago, and certainly hopefully he'll learn from that, but I think he's got potential to be really good. I've seen a lot of people question, you know, about whether the team reached for him and whether you could have got him later. And, you know, Brian, I know, said in an interview yesterday, they know of another team already that was not that far behind him that's already let him know that, hey, we were going to pick him, so you're lucky you did. You know, so if you find a guy that you really like and you believe in him and think he's going to help you, you go out and get them, or somebody else is going to. And, you know, sometimes these work out, and sometimes they don't. You know, they feel like he's going to work out, and if he does, yeah, he's gonna take up a couple of guys, and it's going to free up Jeffrey Simmons to be even better.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, you mentioned, you know, the off the field stuff and what have you. I feel like having him with Jeffrey Simmons is a mentor, because we've watched Jeff, and he was already mature when he, you know, walked in here. I was impressed with him from day one with his opening press conference, but we've seen him grow up even more. Now we know what kind of player he can be, and, you know, he can turn into a monster on the field, but off the field he's a really good guy in the community. I think that's going to be huge for Devondre Sweat, just being around a guy like Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I definitely think Jeffrey's a great leader and someone who's willing to show someone the way, and I think he'll help him. You know, but the kid's got to do it himself. I mean, I'll say this, and again, everybody's different. Every person's different, and all these guys come from different backgrounds, and some are willing to come here and work, and some of them don't. And I hate to bring up the name Isaiah Wilson, but Isaiah Wilson came in an offensive line group where he had some guys around him that, you know, like a Ben Jones, who's been one of the best pros that's ever been around here, that went to Georgia. And here's Isaiah Wilson comes in here with the question marks. He's a Georgia kid. I always thought, you know, the guys in the locker room would have an effect on him, and it just never did. He was just kind of stubborn and did his own thing. You know, I don't get the impression that Sweat is like that. Just what he said after the draft, just some other things I've heard about him. I think he's a guy who wants to be great, and And I'm with you, Chase. I think Jeffrey Simmons and his impact, you know, in the locker room and around the game certainly is going to help spur this kid to be good.
Jim Wyatt is with us. And kind of going through some of these, Cedric Gray really intrigues me out of North Carolina. Obviously, we knew they were going to have to address inside linebacker. Still, I think a thin group, maybe some tweaking there, whether it's undrafted guys or, you know, what have you. But I like the Cedric Gray pick, and I know that you guys asked him about wearing the green dot and kind of being that quarterback of the defense, and it seems like even as a rookie, he feels like he'd be up to that. I'm very curious, though, about how that all works out with him, but I like that pick, too.
I think he's going to be a starter. I really do. I think the first three guys have a chance to all start for this team this year. Now, you mentioned how thin they are, and yeah, they've got some other guys that have to emerge. Chance Campbell, JoJo Doman, Jack Gibbons, Luke Gifford, now Cedric Gray, and then you throw, you know, Kenneth Murray and Otis Reese into that group, Garrett Wallow, James Williams is going to be the inside backer. They've got some numbers, but not a lot of guys who have done it a lot. I think, you know, you bring in, I think you probably brought Murray in here to start. So you figure it's going to be Gray against Gibbons and Otis Reese and Chance Campbell. I think those are the guys probably competing for that spot. And just everything I've heard about Gray and his athleticism and the things he can do, I think he's got a great chance to start right out of the gate and to maybe be the guy that's calling the defense.
Was it a concern to you that I know they drafted Jaquan Jackson, the wide receiver out of Tulane? Now, I like him because of his return ability. I think the return game's actually going to matter again with the new kickoff rules in the NFL. And now, Joe and I were kind of joking yesterday. They haven't had a true, you know, go-to return guy probably since, you know, going back to Mark Mariani and, you know, Pac-Man before that and D-Mace before that. And so it's kind of been a while. And you bring in Jaquan Jackson, so I like that. But they weren't able to address receiver in the early rounds because they had other needs. Do you feel good about this receiver group, though, with the additions that were made in free agency?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, you might have been tempted to take Odunze there.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger need was at tackle. And, you know, a lot hinges on returning guys. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you've got good receivers in DeAndre Hopkins, and then you go out and get, you know, go out and get one of the top receivers that was available in free agency when you go out and get Calvin Ridley. But then, you know, Traylon Burks has got a, you know, it's his time. I mean, he was a first-round pick just a couple of years ago. I've seen him this offseason. I think he looks good. I know the head coach was talking him up yesterday just, you know, about his momentum and some of the things he's done this offseason. So, you know, Traylon Burks needs to be good for this team. Yeah, you know, Kyle Phillips is another guy that Brian Callahan has talked about and is anxious to see how he does. Nick Westbrook-Akinas, we all know him. He's been solid. So, I mean, I feel like numbers are okay at the receiver spot, and I think they're more than okay. I think this team can be good there, be a lot better there. Question is just whether or not Jackson can earn that role as a returner, and if he is, then – he's not only on your roster, but you're on your game day roster doing the returns, as you said, and whose spot does he take? So I'm curious just to see how quick he can get up to speed. I don't know. I don't know what is going to happen as far as kick returner goes and what's going to end up shaking out or what position you need there, what's the best fit for the new rules and who's going to handle the scheme changes the best. So a big wild card there.
Well, and I mean, I think going into that is, you know, when they're trying to put the 53 together, are you keeping a returner? Are you keeping a third quarterback with the way the quarterback rules are now? Obviously, there's going to be a battle for the backup spot when it comes to quarterback. I think those are some interesting questions that they got a long time to answer, but they're going to have to answer eventually.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's going to be harder to keep. Now that you got a guy in Mason Rudolph who has done it before and you feel good about him. I personally feel like, you know, it would be hard to keep three, but then we'll see. I mean, it just depends on how much, you know, longer they want to try to develop Malik Willis. And no, he's a great kid. He's put the work in. You know, it's been a little bit slow developing as far as his adjustment goes to the league, but everybody knew it was going to be. Yeah. When he got drafted, I think everybody said it would, you know, it would be year three before he'd really be, you know, be in a position where he could compete and help. And it's hard to believe now all of a sudden this is year three for him. So we'll see. I'll be curious to see what he looks like in the off season and if he plays in the preseason and plays well, whether that changes their minds.
Real quick, Jim, looking at running back, obviously, you know, big shoes to fill replacing Derrick Henry, but Tajay Spears in his second year, and then they've signed Tony Pollard. But what about behind them? Julius Chestnut is one that I think you look at. I guess Hassan Haskins still on the roster, and then there's probably some undrafted guys that'll be brought in. I'm curious of that running back battle behind the Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard.
Yeah, and you know, Chestnut is somebody who's returned as well too. So he'll be in the mix there. Yeah, I mean, Haskins, you know, again, he's another guy I've seen some this offseason. I think he's looked pretty good, and I think they think he's got a chance to compete and stick. You know, I need to see these guys in pads when they're really competing. But Matt, I think your three running backs, and I think it'll be three when it shakes out, are on the roster right now. You know, as you mentioned, I think I've already seen at least one, maybe two running back undrafted guys sign. We don't announce them until they come in here and pass a physical and get here for the rookie camp. So that's probably going to be a weekend after next. So I think that's at least six that'll be in the competition. But I would think the favorite behind Spears and Pollard is probably Haskins, and then Chestnut behind him, and then we'll kind of see what some of these other guys look like.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Jim, appreciate it. A few people have texted in and want to know if you're standing at Augusta National with the birds chirping in the background, but we've enjoyed it. Sounds good, but I appreciate that you joining me today.
Okay, have a great day. Thank you, Chase.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. You can find his work there. He's covered this team since the very beginning, and always a pleasure to talk to him. We'll kind of react to some of the things that he said there. I am curious about some of these position battles, and it's kind of getting me fired up, you know, thinking about that, even though it's only April 30th. We'll discuss that and get back to our question of the day as well. What is your go-to comfort food? 615-737-1025. You can call or text. We'll read some of those answers next on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and 93.3ClassicHits.com. Sounds Baseball is presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Our question of the day, what is your go-to comfort food? You're just having a day, or you just, I don't know, you just sometimes just makes you feel good. What do you go to? Some of our texters have said, 8492, I'm a six-year-old also, because I said I like goldfish, cookies and chocolate milk. A simple one, a classic, very good. Steven from Hendersonville, my go-to comfort food, bourbon. All right, well, I guess that counts. 1243, Keebler fudge striped cookies. Those are good. Jean and Spring Hill pizza with extra cheese. Stephanie says McDonald's french fries and caramel sundae for dessert. Can't go wrong there. Kenneth says crunchy munchy roll at Drake's. I think I've had that. That's good. 8185 says Hush Puppies. Oh, I love Hush Puppies. You a Hush Puppy fan, Dr. Crane?
Yeah, Captain D's Hush Puppies. You can't go wrong.
Oh, yeah. 1545, Chef Boyardee, any kind, ate it as a kid, so definitely my go-to comfort food. There is something about, like, a Chef Boyardee, just open up a can of something. Sylvia in Clarksville, powdered sugar donuts. Oh, those are, yes, those are good. Ricky says lasagna. Love some lasagna. 3893, taco flavored Doritos. Let's see. Hair Metal Henry is talking about chairs. Sorry. These are all mixed together with things we were talking about earlier. Donovan, my comfort food, crock pot beef stew. Oh, like, especially on a cold day,
going to beef stew. Sour cream. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Viking Matt says bacon, of course. You can never go wrong. Never go wrong with bacon. Vincent and Dixon, does Jack and Coke count? If not, Miss Debbie's loaded fries. Delicious. Okay. Either one. We'll count either one. So, yeah, keep those coming. Our question of the day, your go-to comfort food. Mike says pizza. Those are the pizza is always good. 5353 lasagna or chili. So appreciate seeing some new participation today. Appreciate that. Our question of the day, we'll keep going throughout the show, is what is your go-to comfort food? Coming up next, the Predators, we can use the phrase, tonight is a must-win. What do they have to do to overcome the adversity once again to get the win? We'll discuss that as we begin hour number two. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.